pre-signed. It's just a perfunctory thing between the agents and the attorneys to get all the paperwork and the funds exchanged. And you move out the night before. They do an inspection, walk through the morning after, before this closing. They go for the closing, and a lot of times the buyers are at that, but I hardly ever see the sellers. They get the keys, we take a picture, everybody's happy. That's what it is. I've been selling your house. My name is Joe Peters. You can reach me at 908-238-0118. I cover both Hunterdon, live in Clinton, and Somerset counties, and I work for Coldwell Banker doing residential real estate across both counties. I'd love to hear from you. If you're thinking about selling a house, I'd love to talk to you. And I could give you others to talk to that I have worked with in the past that can sort of tell you what working with me was like. Although, if you go and look at my references on my site, jpeters.com, you can read them for yourself. Thank you for tuning in. I'll see you next week with the Market Report.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
This is Joe Peters signing out. I will see you next Tuesday when we do our monthly market analysis for Hunterdon and Somerset County. Thank you for tuning in.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Punishment phase is underway for the former Dallas cop convicted of murder. Amber Geiger faces life in prison for shooting a man inside his apartment. A jury found her guilty of murder today, despite arguments from her attorneys saying it was a tragedy and she feared for her life. Housing and Urban Development Secretary Ben Carson discusses the possible solutions to California's homeless crisis. State officials are considering whether to declare a state of emergency on homelessness there. The move would free up state and federal funding.
I would, first of all, try to work with the state and the local authorities, but if they're lacking, then I think we have to move people out of that environment to a safer environment and to a cleaner environment.
Carson was speaking there on Fox Business, and at the closing bell, the Dow lost 344 points to close at 26,573. This is USA Radio News.
So there's this guy named Jordan, and he's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. But then he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage four. And here's the thing. He had switched from medical insurance to MediShare, which is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this really going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. If you want to find out more, here's a number for you. 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
The Trump administration is making a new push to pressure sanctuary cities such as Chicago into cooperating with federal immigration enforcement. Mark Morgan is the acting commissioner of Customs and Border Protection.
I've been doing law enforcement for a few decades, and I can tell you, I'm a lot more than concerned about this politically driven policy. What the citizens of Chicago need to understand is this policy is going to create more victims in their city. ICE has and always will. Their priorities are go after criminal aliens, not just aliens that are here illegal, but criminal aliens that are here illegally and have committed additional crimes against the city of Chicago in this incident. It's outrageous. It's reckless. And lives will be in danger because of this.
Google is working on a safety app that would detect car crashes and call 911. After determining there was a crash, the phone would sound the alarm, and if there's no response, it would call 911 with its location. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Okay, good morning. Sorry we're a little bit late. This is Your Seat at the Table with Janis Kovach and Riley Karsh. And our conversations revolve around issues and legislation and anything that impacts you as residents and what you can do.
Billions of dollars in revenue from an unpaid.
Or what your legislators, elected officials can do to help you and demystify what's actually going on in your community. So stay tuned. We're going to go to our quick commercial break, and then we will be back.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908 248-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Okay, here we are. We are back. Sorry again for getting started a little bit late. Technology and traffic didn't quite work well this morning.
Yeah.
Traffic and then technology.
Right. And it's chilly in here, so pardon our shivering.
Yes. So anyway, for anyone watching, I will, yes, my hair is purple. It has nothing to do with the coloring in the room. It's purple because October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and this is what I do to raise awareness around an issue that is very important in many of our communities. But with that, Riley and I think we were going to talk today a little bit about shared services and consolidations and all of that wonderful stuff that I'm sure you're all reading about, hearing about, and wanting to understand what does that mean to me.
Right. It's a hot topic right now, I think. We've seen it. I'm going to take these off because I don't need them right now. It's a hot topic. We've seen it in the news recently. Mm-hmm. I know the legislature has been talking about it. I've seen it in multiple publications, whether it's school consolidation conversations or even, you know, talking about shared service agreements within municipalities, or rather between municipalities,
right,
for policing and fire and, all, you know, anything one could share.
Right.
People are talking about ways in which you know, we could, as a municipality, attempt to save money.
Right. And we do. So
yep.
Many municipalities have shared service agreements with other municipalities for a multitude of things that are being worked on. You know, it could be an informal one of sharing equipment to a formal one where a zoning officer is a shared service with another municipality that only needs someone for a couple of hours.
Right.
So that is definitely, those things are all being done. You know, and I think one of the things that I tend to get frustrated with is there's always this, well, why do we have so many towns? Yes, New Jersey has 565 municipalities. And I don't know that the towns themselves are inefficient. I mean, I can speak from town of Clinton perspective and probably a couple of other communities in dealing with mayors and councils. We work quite well with very little.
Yeah.
And we try to do as much as we possibly can in the town of Clinton because we have a water utility and a sewer utility. A few of our staff are cross-trained. So if there's a water main break, the roads guys are cross-trained that they're able to go out and assist with a water main break. You know, the continuation of services that still need to happen and utilizing those shared services is key to functioning smoothly.
Right.
Now, when you start talking about consolidation, and I think the last municipal consolidation was Princeton Borough and Princeton Township. The study took a couple of years, if I'm not mistaken, because it's a couple of years now since they've done it. And it's worked for them. I think there was probably a little bit of a rocky start.
Well, right. I mean, I think with it, that's a fairly major change for people to adjust to.
Right.
And then, of course, for systems to adjust to, because integrating any kind of system is always, if you think about when you're working in a company and you have to switch, you know, like email systems.
Yes.
No matter how hard you try, there's always bumps in the road, right?
Right.
No matter what program you use or how many smart people are involved, there are always hiccups and problems because the nature of the process.
Exactly.
And so I think they experienced a similar, you know, obviously on a larger scale, but a similar
right.
kind of thing.
Yes. And, you know, and it's interesting because obviously, you know, we've had people ask us why, you know, we're the town of Clinton, why aren't we part of Clinton Township? There are services that are provided through the town of Clinton that aren't necessarily provided at the township level, whether through, because it's never been done that way, it can't be done, whatever it may be. I think it's important to note that there is an impact to one or the other, mm-hmm. or sometimes both when you have that consolidation. And until there's a great deal of effort and financing as well, because there's costs involved in that transition, you know, to one government from two, you also deal with unions if there's civil service employees as well. We've had this conversation about police departments as far as, you know, whether or not it makes sense to merge police departments. Again, there's costs involved to everyone, and whether or not there's a willingness to assume those costs. So right. Most of those studies, when they start looking at consolidations, require a majority, not a majority, but a large number of residents to sign a petition similar to say, listen, we want a petition that we do this study. Mm-hmm. And then there's the ability through the state to get some assistance in studying whether or not it makes sense to do the consolidation. Again, it is a multi-step, multi-year process. It's not a, oh, we're going to merge and that's all there is to it.
Yeah, I mean, as with anything government-related, it's you don't have the sort of flexibility and movability that one has when you're running a business, right? And right. everybody thinks, well, my company could acquire another company and 30 days later be running that company. And of course, that's the beauty of capitalism, right?
Yes.
That one can do those sorts of things. But government obviously functions on a whole different timescale and under a whole different set of rules and regulations. And so, you know, understanding, I think, that aspect is imperative if you're going to start talking about even looking into consolidation, right. Which we're not suggesting.
No, I think, not in any way, shape, or form. But because there's a lot of conversations going on, again, it's yeah. making people aware. You know, one of the issues, so anyone in town who has kids in the school system a couple years ago would remember, I think it was in 2006, Glenn Gardner, which is a sending district to mm-hmm. the town of Clinton, still had its own school district, even though they didn't have a school. So they had their own board of education, their own school district. We were a send-receive partnership. As part of some legislation, there was a consolidation. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, there were 30 districts in the state that had no physical schools right. that were consolidated into the receiving district of where the students were going. So what happened, and I remember there was a lot of conversations back and forth, because now you're trying to merge two budgets. Mm-hmm. You're also trying to merge two debt services.
Right.
So there was a cost associated to Glenn Gardner, and there was a cost associated to Town of Clinton. And then there was another piece where Town of Clinton had to reimburse Glenn Gardner. Mm-hmm. So it was, you know, I remember watching as I'm sitting down, we're sitting down doing the budget at the time, at the process of how that was all playing out. And it took a couple of years. It was a 3-year process for that transition to fully take effect, for the cost from the Town of Clinton residents paying back to Glenn Gardner, I think, took 3 years. And, you know, there's still a difference in how the rates are charged, because Glenn Gardner has a different tax rate than the Town of Clinton.
Right.
It's based on the number of students. So, you know, all of those things, again, even consolidation of a school district that wasn't technically a school district was not an easy process.
That's right. And so, you know, you see these things tossed around in the news, like, oh, if we just consolidate into these mega districts, then we'll save X millions of dollars and the budget will be saved. And I think it's just, you know, that's a great headline, and yes. it makes you click the article and then sort of read the first line and then go, oh, well, that's what we'll do and we'll have all this money. And I'm not saying it's not the right thing to do, but I am saying it's not that simple.
It's not a cookie cutter.
And it's not the solution for every single district. And it's not also the saving grace for the entire state's budget.
Right.
And so to hear that being kind of batted about by the legislature is a little frustrating as a local official, because I think there are other cost saving measures that could be put into place that would be as effective right. as this particular one. And so from the perspective of somebody here in Hunterdon, with kids in school systems who is sitting on a local council, I think, you know, yes, do we need to think this through? Absolutely. Can we go and say, yeah, we should just consolidate all these little school districts into one big mega school district, and then off we go, and we'll save millions of dollars, and everybody will be fine? No. I mean, we're talking about our kids' education. That's a huge, huge deal. This is the future generations. This is not something as simple as, do I want coffee or tea in the morning? This is a very big, big deal.
Right. Well, and I think the first step, it's not even looking at the consolidations, but looking at the state statutes that govern education right now. So there's a statute that requires a principal or a superintendent to be physically located in every building.
Right.
So, okay, we do the consolidation, and I'm a proponent of consolidation of school districts, not physical buildings, because I think that, you know, keeping our buildings in our communities are important. It's why people move to some of the communities that they move to. I'm also not a proponent of a supersized school district.
Right.
You know, do we need 600 school districts? Probably not. You know, could we reduce some of that and maybe look at within sending districts that there's the ability to work together? Possibly, yes. The other piece of it is to really look at school, regional school budgets. I mean, I think a lot of the local school budgets are tight, like town budgets. Some of the regional school budgets, again, I'm not saying that it's bad or it's good or anything like that, but if you look at the level of administration, the budget for administration versus the budget for the teaching and education, there's definitely a disparity in based on the number of teachers and the number of administrators. And I get right. that administration also incorporates the guidance counselors and you know, support staff and everything like that. I'm not saying, make sure I'm putting it out there, I'm not saying that we need to cut jobs.
Right.
But I think what we really do need to look at is how do we streamline some of the administrative. And I think if we look at the state statutes and streamlining some administration, then that's when we see some of those savings in our tax dollars. And then from there, begin the process of how do you get to a regionalized district?
Right. And while also supporting our teachers and protecting our teachers' jobs.
The ones that have the direct access to our kids.
Right. And because, I mean, those teachers are working for not a significant amount of
right.
money. And
absolutely.
They are responsible. I mean, your kids are in school more than they are at home. And so those teachers are the front lines of the future. And I can't stress enough how important it is for the legislature and for all elected officials to recognize that they can't be the first people taking the hit
right.
for the state budget. I think that that is unfair and unwise and doesn't just hurt teachers, it hurts families.
Right.
Right.
Yes.
And so I think if you want a good soundbite, that's not it.
Right.
And so to say, yeah, we're going to save all these millions of dollars by school consolidation, that the reality is you're going to cut teacher jobs and hurt families. That's the flip side of that statement. And so that's where my frustration and the frustration of teachers I've spoken to and people in the community who've come to me and said, what is happening? You know, are we losing our school? Are teachers going right. to lose their jobs? What is this union busting? What's happening?
Right.
And so I think, you know, some clarity needs to come from these statements that we're hearing bandied about
right.
and some real direction as opposed to just what we're seeing come out right now.
Yes. Well, that's it, right? It's the headlines. It's, mm-hmm. it's what grabs the headlines, what gets someone to click on the link.
Yep.
And, of course, the minute you start the perception that you're going to mess with someone's kid,
right?
Then right away. So, you know, it really needs to be a thought out conversation. And again, it's looking at multiple pieces of it. I mean, I get it. It's not the coolest thing to do to go through state statutes and,
yeah.
and determine what we need and what we don't. I mean, we're going through it now in town with some of our ordinances.
Absolutely.
You know, we're looking at ordinances that are so outdated, we need to make sure that they move with the time.
That's right.
And that they're appropriate with what we're looking at.
Right.
You know, we no longer have horse and buggies, so we probably don't need to make sure we have tie things for the horses.
Right. We can probably let that go at this point.
you know, and again, that's kind of a joke, but, you know, that's the kind of stuff that we're looking at is, you know, there's so many things to be fixed, but the root cause of the fix has to start at the very bottom, which is what statutes out there really make sense.
Yep.
You know, what do we need to update? And it's probably not as hard as someone would think. You know, everything kind of clumps together based on, you know, if it's education or,
right,
you know, dealing with that. So how we make sure that we look at that piece up, and then from there, you know, look at school budgets. You know, what I get it, schools still have the 2% cap the same way that we do. But I was talking to someone, I can't remember who it was the other day, and for 4 years they kept their budget flat. And then all of a sudden, because they had never used their 2%, they decided to do it all at one shot. So 8% in 1 year.
Yeah.
And which kind of blows my mind, because I don't know how you actually can do that.
Right.
And get away with it.
That's a huge hit to the community.
And it is, especially when the tax, you know, you're talking between 60 and 70% of the tax bill is for the education.
Right.
So with that, we're going to go to our news break, and then we will be back to continue the conversation.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The legal team for the intelligence official behind the original complaint about President Trump is now representing a second whistleblower. One of the attorneys say that multiple whistleblowers have come forward, but Republican Congressman Chris Stewart of Utah tells Fox News Sunday that the president's dealings with Ukraine were legit.
When you read the transcript of what the president says, he's very clear. The reason he's withholding aid is because he wants to pressure the Europeans, particularly Ms. Merkel in Germany, that they have been dragging their feet for months on this. And by the way, we heard as early as late spring that they were probably going to withhold this aid. We've been hearing, those of us who work in national security, they were going to do that to pressure the Europeans.
The lawyers say the second whistleblower, who also works in intelligence, hasn't filed a complaint with the Inspector General, but does have firsthand knowledge that supported the original complaint. This is USA Radio News.
Investments and securities involve the risk of loss.
Investment mistakes? Oh boy, I've seen some doozies.
Ken Fisher, founder and executive chairman of Fisher Investments.
Things like being too conservative, ignoring the long-term erosion of your wealth from inflation, or trying to time the market. And if you're retired or close to being, you may not have enough time to recover, so use your noodle and call for our free guide.
13 Retirement Investment Blunders to Avoid explains how anyone can stumble on the road to retirement, with errors like working with a non-fiduciary advisor or mutual funds with nosebleed-level fees. Call 1-888-FISHER-0 for your free guide. And as a bonus, we'll send you, at no cost, Maximize Your Social Security for Retirement. See how your decisions now can affect this important source of retirement cash flow. Fisher Investments has helped thousands achieve a comfortable retirement.
You could achieve your investment goals without becoming your own worst enemy.
Call 1-888-FISHER-0. That's 1-888-FISHER-0.
Okay, and we are back. So, continuing the conversation around consolidation, shared services, you know, these are all things that are obviously important and really can help if done right. And that's the issue, right, is making sure that you do it the right way and in such a way that it is effective.
Right.
And you can see actual savings. The other piece of it, you know, dealing with when you try to do a consolidation of a school and teachers' unions, you know, obviously each school has a different contract, and how that transition happens. Again, what happens is the teachers are the ones that are hurt, not necessarily the administration or the union, for that matter. I mean, take the union piece out of it. I mean, we're talking about individual people who have jobs,
right,
who are responsible for our children 8 hours a day.
Right. And, you know, as I was saying, what you don't want to see is you know, disguised union busting.
Right.
Right. And in an attempt to save money, we see teachers reset to starting salaries, or teachers lose their seniority for some reason, or teachers who now live in Pennsylvania because they can't afford to live in New Jersey because our taxes are so high, who now can't work in the districts they've been working in for 10, 15 years because you need to be a resident of New Jersey to work in certain districts.
Right.
And so all of those things are concerning to me in the beginning stages of these conversations. And if you are not on the ground level in having those conversations, are you, you know, necessarily aware of those issues? I don't know. Because sometimes what happens, and we see this a lot, is laws get passed, laws get made, and they don't account for the reality of the day-to-day of what's happening in communities.
Right.
Because if you're not in it, you may not see it. And we say this all the time. We can't be everywhere. We need our community to come to us and say, this is happening on this street corner, because maybe we haven't seen it.
Right.
And so the same thing happens, you know, as you go up in levels, right? So maybe the legislature doesn't see what's happening in a community, and we need to raise awareness from the community upwards in that respect. And so, you know, part of why I keep saying, I know I'm being repetitive today, but part of why I keep saying that is in the hopes that people will acknowledge and recognize that these are real issues and they must be addressed before any sort of rules and regulations are promulgated, because what we can't have are teachers losing jobs, teachers going without contracts, teachers being, you know, reset to starting salaries. We can't have union busting. That's just not acceptable, even if it's called something else and people pretend it's not union busting. Right. You know, we can all see it for what it is. You know, because if we're going to do that to teachers, then who's next, right? Mm-hmm. Are we going to do that to police? Are we going to do that to firefighters? Are we going to do that to our civil servants? You know, these are people who are working in the public sector and putting some of them putting their lives on their line, some of them working for very little money to raise future generations. And I think we as a citizenry need to respect that and find mm-hmm. ways to support that without, you know, taking things away. You know, and that's what I'm concerned about. So there are ways we can consolidate services, and there are ways we can consolidate school administration that mm-hmm. are smart and thoughtful. I don't know that consolidating physical schools is the right way to go. I mean, there are some schools where I might argue differently. If you've got 10 kids in your school, I don't know that that's healthy for your kids.
Right.
As a kid who went to a very small school, there were times where I was like, ooh, I need more kids.
Right.
You know, and that can become problematic for other reasons. But, you know, I just think there's a lot to think about, and people see dollar signs and they forget about the details sometimes.
Right. Well, and how much savings is there really?
Right. And at what cost?
Right. Absolutely. So, you know, we've talked about, you know, whether or not the physical buildings, the other issues to busing.
Right.
So we're in a district that has no busing, or a school, you know, a local school, K-8 school that has no busing. We're a walking school district. If we were to have to close our building, which I don't think is a good use of space, but let's say that we're going to consolidate buildings and, you know, everyone's going to go into, you know, either a larger school or into other schools within the district. Then one, now we have a building that is empty and not being used for anything. We're now paying for busing for those same students to get to another school. And that's the other piece of it that, you know, how do we make sure this is not a cookie cutter fix for everyone. This is each similar to the municipal consolidation. This has to be I don't want to say town by town, but kind of an area by area.
It can be regionalized, right? I mean,
yes, it can be county.
It can be county. What's going to work here in Hunterdon County is not the same as what's going to work in Bergen County.
Right.
Right. They're very different geographically, and density. Wise, right?
I mean,
there's just so many more people in Bergen County than in Hunterdon County, right? You're having
a totally
different kind of conversation about schools in those regions.
Right.
So how could you apply the same rules uniformly? Certain rules, of course, but uniformly, it just doesn't work. And so I think the wiser approach would be to look at each district and go, what makes sense here?
Right.
And not... not to say everything should just stay the same and we just pretend like there's no issues, because that's also not the solution.
Right.
But to apply some sort of blanket rule that doesn't account for nuance also, you know, just isn't going to work for anyone.
Yeah. And think about it. The top-down approach doesn't create the buy-in. So you That's need right. family buy-in. You need parents to buy in that this is the right move, that this is the place, and this is how we want to be part of that decision-making process.
Of course.
Similar to when, you know, we do town halls in town. It's so that we can hear what the residents are looking for, you know, what they think is important. Because when you separate yourself from that, strictly looking at the numbers, and I'll give you an example. We were, when I was at the Division on Women, there was conversations about cutting some funding to one of the programs. And, you know, we showed report after report of how many women we were helping and the importance of the programs. What made the difference was we went around, and this is back in the video camera days, yeah, the right. big video cameras. We created a video and we interviewed the women that had benefited from the program.
Right.
And these were stories of women who had no place else to turn and what that program with minimal amount of money was able to accomplish for those individuals. And that when you tell that story, that's how things absolutely change in the right way.
Right.
It's the story of, you know, what's the story in Clinton? What's the story in Hampton? What's the story in Highbridge? Those are all the things that we need to take into account. And
yeah.
and I think once you do that, then you can actually get to a better place and a more holistic approach to consolidation or shared services, whatever it may be.
Right. And as we've been saying, I mean, I do think there is potential for shared services at the upper levels of administration. Right?
Absolutely.
In places where we're talking about administrative type activities, mm-hmm. I think there are places where we can, you know, I don't know that every single building needs a super and a principal and a vice principal. I mean, I'm not an expert, and I'll put that out there. Maybe somebody will come and say, no, we need it for this reason, and there are valid reasons, and we have to have it. I'm open to that conversation. But from a layman's perspective, that seems administratively excessive.
Right.
But and perhaps a way to save money for a district. But to say, you know, that we're going to just take all the schools in Hunterdon County and create two districts, you know, a North and a South Hunterdon, and then off we go, seems foolhardy at
right.
this point. So, but then, you know, to even just to get off of the schools for a second and talk about other shared services, it's not just can you create shared services, it's what do you get when you create shared services? Are you getting the same level of service that you were getting before? So maybe you save money, but what are you getting when
What's
you're
the
saving
cost?
Money, right? Are you getting the kind of service you were getting before? Is it worth the cost savings? Is it so much less than what you had in the past that, you know, you've lost more than you've gained? These are all conversations that need to be had, I think, at a municipal level.
Right.
Because those are the people directly impacted.
Yes.
You know, and that applies to any kind of shared services that we enter into.
Well, you know, and because most towns have some sort of an informal agreement,
mm-hmm.
you know, we are there to help our neighbors.
Absolutely.
Same way they're there to help us.
Yeah.
You know, there's also the proximity. So, you know, Clinton doing a shared service with Flemington, depending on what the shared service is, may or may not make sense because
right.
you've got 15 miles, give or take, between the two towns.
Right.
So that travel distance, does that make sense? Is that something? But yet we have, you know, our police department assists Franklin Township.
Right.
Clinton Township assists Clinton. It's, you know, they all work together. They know how it's supposed to happen without government really telling them what to do.
Right.
You know, it always amazes me when I hear how they've kind of, they work together or who's backed up who, and it's all without interference.
And sometimes if we stay out of things a little bit, it's actually better, right?
Yes.
Because once we start building a structure around it, then they have, you know, much more, what's the word I want? much more, you know, administrative red tape that they have to kind of deal with. And not that I am not for regulation. I am pro-regulation. There are times when, you know, it's necessary and helpful and beneficial. But when you're dealing with emergencies or things of that nature, you know, they need the flexibility. And typically we're talking about emergency services in a lot of these cases, right? Like we're talking about our fire department, our emergency squad, our police department. And they know what they're doing. I am not a police officer. I am not on the fire department. I'm not equipped to tell them how to do their job.
Right.
And I would never pretend to be. And so I appreciate the fact that they have created these sorts of relationships and work together to maintain safety and maintain healthy relationships throughout the community, not just in Clinton, but in the surrounding areas. I think that that's a testament to who we have on staff and who we have volunteering. They're doing an amazing job.
Right. And they're doing it because it's the work that they do. It's what they love to do. And they know it's important. But they're not – and they don't – you know, that's the thing is they don't do it for the accolades. They do it because it's a passion.
That's right.
And giving them the flexibility. And granted, to your point, there are some things that we can't be flexible in, you know, when you're dealing with where the town's hands are tied from a legislative perspective or statute perspective. It can be frustrating, and I get it. But as much as we can give them that flexibility to do what they need to do to get the job done is really – you know, and we hear good things.
You know,
we get the letters from residents that are thankful that two squads, you know, responded to something for them or that, you know, Clinton covers daytime for some of the surrounding municipalities because we have that ability and other towns now aren't struggling with that additional cost too.
That's right. And I think, you know, some of the cost that I believe we started talking about this when we were talking about infrastructure, but some of the costs we're starting to bear as a community, as a town, certainly in Clinton and some of the surrounding areas, is going to need to be passed on with the infrastructure issues we're having on, you know, additional accidents and things like that on the interstates. And so that would alleviate some of the shared services issues that we're having if we could start addressing those issues. So I'm going to circle back to last week and just continue to hammer on that point of, you know, federally and state-wise, you know, there needs to be some sort of redress for our firefighters and our EMS squad and our police to be able to cover the cost of answering calls on not in the town of Clinton
on the interstate
because that is, you know, what they spend a lot of time doing and our community is paying for it.
Right.
Literally paying for it. And, I think there needs to be some redress for us to account for that. And I will continue to raise that issue for our departments because I think it's a valid point and something we do need to address going forward. I don't know how we address it or where it's going to come from, but I do think it needs to be accounted for.
Right. So the shared service isn't necessarily just between municipalities or schools. It's also with the state and federal government, with the municipalities that are impacted by the stuff. All right, we're going to go to a quick commercial break, and then we'll be back to pretty much wrap up our conversation.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Sabía que de cada cinco personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental. NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda,
No estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
All right, we are back for the last 10 minutes or so, actually just 10 minutes, you know, talking again, just to anyone who's just joining us, we're trying to solve the world's problems around shared services and consolidation of both school districts and municipalities. You know, New Jersey is one of those states. You've got over 1,000 authorities and commissions and whatnot. You also have 600 school districts, 565 municipalities, 400 and some police departments, fire districts, 21 counties, and a state government.
Right.
So, you know, that's a lot of stuff to consider for consolidation.
There's a lot of administration in there.
Yes.
Right? And so I'm like a broken wheel today. But what I don't want is...
broken record.
Yeah, broken record. I'm also overtired. But what I don't want to see is the consolidation impacting the working people.
Right.
Right? If we're going to consolidate things, consolidate at the top level first.
Yes.
Because the people who are out there every single day working in, you know, in civil service are working for lower pay than average, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just generally. I mean, I know I'm stereotyping, but that's the general rule. And so if we're talking about consolidating in these particular areas, then we need to be talking about top-down consolidation, because we don't need 10 administrators for every single unit. We need less than that.
Right.
And if you've ever run a business, you know that's true. I've run one, several. There's no reason for 20 administrators over a single program. There's
right.
just no reason for it. And so what I would hate to see is for the state to start pushing and pushing and pushing on this consolidation issue in order to raise funds to cover whatever deficit in the budget exists, and then have our working public suffer the consequence of that.
Right.
I don't think that solves any problems for anyone. So then you've saved money in the budget, but you've put a whole bunch of people out of work, or you've caused a whole bunch of people to make significantly less money over time.
Right.
And so you're...
And what costs do we incur on the other side?
Exactly.
With that. So now you've created, you know, whether it's through early retirement and a pension system that is still struggling.
Right. That's been borrowed against time and time again. Right.
Right, and you know, goes back
unfunded.
Through multiple years, you know, and you can't fix 20, 30 years of broken in 1 or 2 years.
Right, and you can't fix 20 or 30 years of broken by punishing the workers who've been paying into a system
right.
over and over and over again. So, you know, if you can't tell, I'm very much on the side of workers here, but people who have been paying into a system over...
With an expectation.
Over year after year after year with an expectation of being paid back, you know, at the end of their working years, that's a contract. You've created a contract and an expectation, and we need to fulfill it. So we need to find a way to do that without punishing the working people. And so, you know, if we're looking at consolidating, let's do it with an eye to thinking it through such
holistically.
That everyone comes out, you know, on the upside, as opposed to, you know, just pushing it down to the lower levels of and I don't lower levels sounds not nice, and I don't mean it.
But those are the front lines.
You know, yeah, that's a better way of saying it. The people, you know, who are day in and day out working to keep us safe, to raise our kids. You know, my kid's at school right now. Her teacher is amazing. If she wasn't there, I would spend all my time worrying about my kids. So,
right.
You know, having those people in place is essential for all of us.
Right. No, don't disagree. It's definitely something that, you know, hopefully people will start to ask questions and challenge elected officials. You know, the local level, challenge your school boards. It really is, we all need to hear what everyone is thinking. And even those that don't have kids in the school system, either never had them or their kids have aged out of the system, you know, every voice is important because everyone's going to be impacted by whatever decision is made. So there needs to be I'm going to go back to this holistic, we talk about it with housing, right? When we're looking at a new development, it's not just the 20 new homes that are being built, but it is the water, the sewer, the road,
right.
The school, all of what's the impact of those 20 new homes being built?
That's right. Because it's not just, I'm going to save $1 million today.
Right.
It's, I'm going to save $1 million today, but at what cost tomorrow? And then what am I losing and what am I gaining? And what other things, steps am I going to have to take in the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years to account for that $1 million I saved today?
Right.
So, you know, everyone sees a dollar sign and they go, great. But you have to think it through to the end.
Right. Absolutely. Windfalls are nice, but they're not, you can't sustain them.
It's a Band-Aid.
It is. So with that, we are just about out. Again, you know, please join us Monday mornings from 10 to 11. It's called Your Seat at the Table, Janice Kovach and Riley Karsh. And we're going to break down issues that impact you and your communities. Hope you all have a great week, and we will talk to you next week.
What do you want to do when you grow up? When we were young, it's a question we were often asked. As we get older, our passions become clearer, our pursuits become careers, and if we're diligent, we begin to plan for the life we want to live. That's why, at Ameriprise Financial, we ask what's most important to you. Starting with our confident retirement approach, your Ameriprise Financial advisor will ask questions that help you arrive at a customized plan that allows you to realize your goals today, tomorrow, and throughout retirement. With the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Call Michelle Heidi and Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 16 Lee Street, Units 1B and 1C in Clinton, New Jersey. The confident retirement approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, a registered investment advisor.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
This to me is just unnerving to its core.
Republican Senator Lindsey Graham reacting to word from the White House that it's pulling hundreds of U.S. troops back from northern Syria, green-lighting a planned Turkish offensive against the longtime U.S.-backed Kurdish forces there. Graham calling it irresponsible.
To say to the American people ISIS has been destroyed in Syria is not true.
Graham was speaking on Fox and Friends. The president says the U.S. has defeated ISIS and will bring soldiers home rather than fight in endless tribal wars there. A federal judge has just ruled that President Trump cannot stop his accountants from turning over his taxes to Manhattan D.A. Cyrus Vance Jr., who's probing whether the Trump Organization falsified business records related to so-called hush money payments. This is USA Radio News.
Investments and securities involve the risk of loss.
Investment mistakes? Oh boy, I've seen some doozies.
Ken Fisher, founder and executive chairman of Fisher Investments.
Things like being too conservative, ignoring the long-term erosion of your wealth from inflation, or trying to time the market. And if you're retired or close to being, you may not have enough time to recover. So use your noodle and call for our free guide.
13 Retirement Investment Blunders to Avoid explains how anyone can stumble on the road to retirement, with errors like working with a non-fiduciary advisor or mutual funds with nosebleed-level fees. Call 1-888-FISHER-0 for your free guide. And as a bonus, we'll send you, at no cost, Maximize Your Social Security for Retirement. See how your decisions now can affect this important source of retirement cash flow. Fisher Investments has helped thousands thousands achieve a comfortable retirement.
You could achieve your investment goals without becoming your own worst enemy.
Call 1-888-FISHER0. That's 1-888-FISHER0.
It's the first Monday of October, which means the U.S. Supreme Court is back in session today. Some major cases on its docket include cases about immigration, gun rights, and abortion. One of the Democrats running for the White House, Senator Cory Booker, was discussing abortion and related issues on the campaign trail on Sunday.
I'm going to create a White House Office of Reproductive Freedom to begin to coordinate and deal with these issues. And that involves everything from working to codify Roe in legislation all the way, frankly, to dealing with maternal mortality rates, which are horrific.
Meanwhile, a federal appeals court will be hearing arguments in New Orleans today on a Mississippi law that was passed last year banning abortions after 15 weeks of pregnancy. It's never taken effect as a district judge declared the law unconstitutional, although the law is now being appealed by the state. Find us online anytime. We're at usaradio.com.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
The oldest living former U.S. president falling at his home in Georgia yesterday, but Jimmy Carter told a crowd later in Nashville, Tennessee, he had to show up there for the building project he was scheduled to be part of for Habitat for Humanity.
I got up this morning at home in Plains getting ready to go to church. Because right after that we had a family reunion and then we were coming to Nashville. And I fell down and hit my forehead on a sharp edge and had to go to the hospital. And they took 14 stitches in my forehead. And my eye is black, as you notice. But I had a number one priority, and that was to come to Nashville to build houses.
Talks to end a weeks-long strike of General Motors workers don't appear to be headed in the right direction. The United Auto Workers Union says while there's been some progress on some issues, the talks have now taken a turn for the worse, the union claiming GM is showing an unwillingness to fairly compensate its workers. And two researchers from the U.S. and one from Britain are sharing this year's Nobel Prize for Medicine. The Nobel Committee today naming Americans William Kalin Jr. and Greg Semenza, as well as Sir Peter Ratcliffe. The four have identified the molecular machinery that regulates the activity of genes in response to varying levels of oxygen. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Well, good morning. Our local weather here at HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Looks like showers likely. It's about 72 outside right now. I see some clouds coming on the horizon. So maybe this afternoon, tonight showers before 9 p.m., then rain mainly between 9 p.m. and 5 a.m. Chance of rain in the morning on Tuesday. Otherwise cloudy with a high near 67. Tuesday night, chance of showers, mainly after 9 p.m. Again, looks like Wednesday, another chance of showers, mostly cloudy, high near 63. About 40% chance of precipitation on Wednesday. Wednesday night, chance of showers, lows will be in the upper 40s. Rain probably finishing up on Thursday. Highs will be in the 60s. Cloudy on the overnight Thursday, sunny on Friday, and again, maybe rain coming through again on Saturday and Sunday. Looks like typical fall weather. Stay tuned for Chef Phil's Table.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.